What kind of massage do you have?
Good morning, people. Yeah, welcome. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 523 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Fired up, ready to go.
Therapy, how you doing, man?
Doing great. One day to opening day.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get started, Puff Daddy's on the run, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that.
Diddy, or whatever he goes by now. You know, you've been hearing a lot about this, especially with, you know, Epstein's list that people have been talking a lot about lately, and exposing the list and seeing who's on this list of the perverts that visited Epstein's island. You know, this is wild, and because Puff Daddy's a huge name.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, this got to make you think that they're going after these guys now. They're going after the pervs, which makes you think, geez, who's it going to be next? Because Puff Daddy, I mean, that's a huge name. It isn't like they went after, you know, some director that some, you know, most people never heard of. You know, and then Puff Daddy's on the run. I mean, this could get really interesting this year, guys.
Yeah, you know, they got him for what, sex trafficking and all this stuff. It's,
My man got a tunnel going from his house, like, underneath the fucking ocean to, like, a weirdo island. He got some kind of weird shit going on. Like, it's not looking good for Puff Daddy.
No, it's not. It's, you're, I don't get it. I don't get these people who do stuff like this.
You know, it's so weird that they all do it. Like, it's almost like if you're going to be famous, you got to do these kind of things. That way we have something against you. You know, because you got to figure the price of fame has got to be very high. Otherwise, wouldn't we all be famous? Wouldn't everybody be making the big dollars? It almost seems like, you know, the fact that so many of these rich, famous people resort to this weird pedophilia, and they all go to these islands with these weirdos, and it almost seems like there's something to it, Mike. Otherwise, you know, why all these people can't be?
It's not all these people. It's just, I mean,
did you see the size of Epstein's list, Mike?
No, I haven't. No,
it's a long list.
It's because the real list hasn't been released. They have all these fake ones out there with names on there. That
you think there's only a couple names on this list, Mike, or do you think there's probably a lot?
Oh, there's probably a lot.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about everybody, of course.
Yeah,
I'm talking
about... and P. Diddy, his what, sex trafficking, and it's not associated with the Epstein thing. But my God, P. Diddy, you're rich and famous. Why do you got to go and do this and try and be like a
so big many pimp? People, Mike, are on this in this conversation, and it's unbelievable.
I just don't get these people.
I don't get it either, man.
Like, if I was like rich and famous, I'd just be, you know.
I'd be doing chicks all the time. I don't get what this thing is with the little boys and the kids all of a sudden with these people. And I'm sure
PDD wasn't you know, anything dealing with minors. It was like, what, women and men?
We don't know.
That's what I read. I didn't read anything about kids with PDD.
I mean, this literally has only been going on for 2 days and they haven't found him yet. So they're not going to release, you know, the important shit just yet anyway.
Yeah, they've raided, what, three of his properties?
Yeah. So
on a plane flying somewhere.
You know, I mean, if you're going to say sex trafficking with women is worse than with kids, I
didn't say it was worse. I just want to, you know, get it right. Kind of throw it, to be accurate.
Well, we don't know that yet. It's all up for speculation. Nobody knows the facts right now. And what I'm saying is, to be involved in that kind of thing, it's weird. No matter if it's kids or if it's
either one is bad. Yeah.
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 So. Let's talk about something less stressful, guys. Let's talk about the Steelers.
Yes, sir.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, they did something yesterday. Brian on the board. Good morning, Brian. Says he has an alibi.
That's what they all say, Brian.
So what they did yesterday, guys, they kind of shored up more special teams, which I think is an awesome thing, because they did that earlier this offseason. They went and signed the new punter, which I think was necessary. They re-signed Miles Killebrew, who is their all-pro, Pro Bowl special teams player. And yesterday they signed all-pro return man. Is his name Cordarrelle?
I always mispronounce his name.
I always say Cordell Patterson.
I always want to say Quadrella or Cordrella. I'm probably butchering it. I just know it's Patterson.
Isn't that a chocolate?
I don't know. I'm terrible at pronouncing names.
So he's a running back wide receiver from Atlanta. We signed him to a 2-year deal, $6 million. And he's in fact one of the greatest guys, one of the greatest kickoff specialists of all time. At 33 years old, Mike, he has nine kickoff returns for touchdowns, which is the most. So if this guy at 33 years old could come here and bring the ball out for us every time he gets kicked off, even if he's not what he was at 24, I know we did this last year with Patrick Peterson, and let's kick the tires on this guy, see if he still got it, and he didn't. But they're trying. They're
I
trying.
like this. I like this signing. It was a smart move because, like you said, the kickoff with being more or less reintroduced back into the NFL. He's number one all time, and he's not coming in like Patrick Pete, like we're not relying on him to fill a key every down role. He's going to be running back number three, kick return number one. That's the perfect role for him. Use him sparingly in the offense. Have a couple plays designed for him here and there to where you can get him out, line him up as running back, put him out in the pass patterns. Have him run some routes where he lines up against the linebacker where he has the advantage. It's just a smart signing. He's had his best years down in Atlanta under Arthur Smith. So I
I
like
love
this. It's
how
a good
everything comes
sign.
back to Arthur Smith. If it would go on that logic, we would be all Texans and Falcons at this point.
Well, I just think,
Everything
he.
that's ever been said about him was like, well, look what he did in Tennessee. Look what
Well,
he
no, I'll
did
just
in
say it was just, I
or
don't know
Titans,
if
I'm
it's
sorry.
coincidence or not, but his biggest offensive productions were with him in that system down there. But he's always been a
People
special
were
teams
ready to make
ace.
Ryan Tannehill our starter
Oh God, no, hell no, that would
before we
happen. I'd
made our
be
big
out.
quarterback moves.
I'd be, you'd be seeing me on a Cleveland Brown podcast, being a Browns fan, if that would happen.
Oh, hell no. Oh, that's disgusting.
I'd tear up all my Steelers stuff and
That's
walk
almost as
away.
bad as Puff
Tannehill can.
Daddy. I got to tell you, I'd be more willing to say that I did what Puff Daddy did than say that I'm a Browns fan. I got to be honest with you.
I think you might actually be right. Well, wouldn't that be one and the same though? You're like Puffy, and then you're supporting Deshaun Watson at the same time. So
I'm not against
that's
the
a
happy
lateral
ending.
move.
I'm not against the happy endings. I got to tell you, these guys that go to these massage parlors, I'm actually a fan of this. And I think
Oh,
that it should.
you're a fan of the sexual assault of
Not
the
the
masseuse.
assault, but you got to know that there are a lot of these massage parlors that they do have a happy ending for an
You have
additional
to make
amount of
sure
money.
you're at that one, and
Right,
then
of
you pay
course.
for it, and you don't force that.
Well, of course, that's not what I'm
Yeah,
talking about. I'm not
yeah.
talking about forced sex, Mike. I'm talking
Oh,
about
okay. I got
going.
confused for a second. I've had like four cups of coffee. I'm wired.
And this guy I was watching this interview on the radio where he went to one of these, and he didn't know. He was unaware if it was one of these happy ending massage parlors, and he
Oh,
gets in
God.
there. Well, it was a deep tissue massage is what it was billed as. And he's like he said they make him get naked. He laid down on the massage table. And then the girl started like getting like, they do the normal massage, like the legs and the arms. And then she started like really grinding into his taint, I guess, with her fingers. And she's pushing and massaging a deep tissue massage into his taint. And he said that her hand kept touching his balls. So when it was almost done, she had him turn over onto his back and she asked him, she goes, "Have you ever heard anything about this place before?" And he says, "No, not really." And she says, "Well, for an additional 75 on top of the 125 that you pay just to walk through the door, we can finish it for you." And he did. And he did this. And he said that she lathered him up. Like almost like when you're getting a shower and you lather up. She said she lathered. He said she lathered his junk up, and he said with almost within 30 seconds he was done. I mean, it was like unbelievable, I guess. So if you find the right ones, I'm not against it at all. I got to be honest with you.
No. If that's what it's
And
advertised as, go to the place. Eh?
that's the thing.
What happens between two consenting adults?
You can't actually hang on the door. This is what goes on. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So it's a tricky
Like,
business,
yeah, like,
and I'm on board.
yeah,
I
like
gotta be.
you see like that massage parlor that's out and like just in the middle of nowhere. You know what's going on there.
Yeah, that would be, that's what you would think. You'd go there and then it wouldn't be, they'd
It
be
would
all
be like a
weird.
very professional, very
Yeah.
like,
And they'd be real
no.
weird with you. Happy ending? What happy ending? You know?
What the hell are you talking about? No, this is a. Then the one right down on Main Street, that would be the one.
Yeah. The one that you would see, like, young girls walking in during the day, and you wouldn't think twice that it would
Yeah,
be
you would
a.
think nothing of it, and that would be the sketchy one.
Right,
That's the
right.
way to do it. Commit your crimes right out in public in front of everyone. That's
That's what I
the
do.
best of.
When I commit crimes, I do it in front of
You do
everybody.
it, you just do it out there and just act casual, and people are like, oh, okay, I guess he's supposed to do that.
That's right.
But no, Patterson, I like the signing, a smart signing. And apparently they had this in the works because they kind of had a feeling that the new kickoff return policy was gonna pass. So they were ready to go once it passed to make this signing. It was well done, a forethought by Omar Khan. Planning ahead like this. I love it. This is something we never would have seen under Kevin Colbert.
And then real quick on the board, I do want to say good morning to Ron. I also want to say, and as far as what Brian had to say, he was at the radio station with me during the allegations. He did leave for 30 seconds to run to the bathroom, and I can't
That's enough
confirm.
time to call P. Diddy.
I can't confirm that he didn't do anything wrong in that 30 seconds because I did not follow him to the bathroom. So I'm a little suspicious of that, Brian. But you know what?
That's enough time to find out when his flight out of the country is.
That's right. And he had
Yeah.
underground tunnels. That saves a lot of time.
Jesus. If I had all that money, I would just like live by myself and just not tell anyone. I just want to be left alone because everyone would try to take your money.
I know, I'd be doing cool shit. Like this guy's insane. I mean, with all the money they have and this is the shit they get into.
Well, I'd be
I
building like big robots and have them fight each other.
think that's what they do. These rich people do. This is like, this is, I don't know. I don't
You
know. I
go all throughout
obviously.
history, they all do weird stuff. Rich and powerful people do weird shit.
I want to talk about this NFL hybrid kickoff model for a
Yes.
second, guys. NFL owners voted to approve the new kickoff rule. Here's what a version will look like. Basically, you're going to have both teams lining up 5 yards away from one another. One team will be at their own 30, between their 30 and 35. The other team will be between the 40 and 45. There's going to be 5 yards between them. Behind the receiving team's line, between the 20 and the goal line is the landing zone. And the kicker all by himself is way back at his own 35-yard line. So the kicker kicks the ball. He has to kick it in the landing zone. If he kicks it anywhere besides the landing zone, there's a penalty. Now the ball gets kicked off from the 35. The two lines of guys of 20 people, 10 on each line, stand still until the ball drops and gets caught in the landing zone by the receiving team's player. At that point, the two teams could then activate and start, the
Yeah.
kickoff team's approaching the ball, and the receiving team starts to try to block them and defend and block for their guy. I gotta be honest, I'm excited.
I'm
I mean,
not.
it's a debate. You could go on and on about if you really thought anything was wrong with the old way, if you really thought that more people were getting injured on the kickoff. I mean, that's really a debate that could go on and on. But as far as this goes, I'm not upset about it, and I'm kind of interested to see how it goes. I keep seeing, they obviously show a lot of highlights of this particular style, this model being used in the XFL. And you know what? It seems somewhat successful. You could, teams break it and score, teams defend it, and looks like Mike kind of sort of has something there on his screen.
I got the video up here. This is how it would look. This is like the best one I could find right here. It's kicker, offense, or defense, offense. Yeah, it has to land inside this area right here. You can only have two returners back there.
So it's going to be interesting. Derpy, you're not a big fan of this, are you?
I'm not a fan, but it could be fun.
Right.
We watched the XFL, and this is the model they used. I thought it was well done. It's going to be different. It's going to take a little bit to get used to, but it's going to bring back, kick returns. It's not going to be a touchback fest anymore.
I'm a fan of that. I want kickoff return just because it's part of the game, and the
Yeah.
fact that you resort not to return. as that is regular kickoff is a part of the game, and the fact that a lot of people, most teams choose to not return most of the time, I think that takes away from the sport of football because it's the rule. It's what the kickoff return is.
Yeah.
It's whether you like it or not, whether you think you're going to get injured, whatever the case may be, it's part of the game, and you're just refusing to do it and be, partake in it. I like this. Let's take a look. They're going to give us an opportunity to check it out, and let's see if we like it. And who
Yeah.
knows? People might end up loving it.
And one thing I like about this too, like all the special teams coaches throughout the league got together, and they're the one, they saw what the XFL did. They looked at it. They all worked on it together to make, come up with some of the finer rules for the NFL, and then they submitted it. It wasn't done by a committee of people who never played or coached the game.
Right.
These guys are doing this day in, day out. This is their job, and that's why I'm a big proponent of this. It was actually done by people who inside the game with inside knowledge.
Now I'm glad that you brought that up, Mike. It was an
Nope.
excellent segue.
That's why
Excellent.
I'm here. They call me Mr. Segway.
The hybrid kickoff and then the hip drop tackle, which is the other big
Yeah.
rule adjustment that they made. And one thing that I'm seeing is a lot of defensive people are really not too thrilled with this because you
Yeah.
really aren't given much space to tackle
Yeah.
anybody. You're not allowed to
Yeah.
tackle high because of the head. You're not allowed to tackle by the hips, which was exactly how we were taught how to tackle when we were in football as kids. You go after the hips, you wrap up, you drop down around the, and you pull down. Patrick Queen, he even went on to say that, NFL, the football itself is probably going to be illegal in 15 years, along with a lot of other defensive players that have the same opinion. I'm sure the offense, at the end of the day, I don't know if they're too thrilled either because now their knees and legs are a prime target. So who wins in this rule change, Mike?
Again, the offense. It's all about the offense. They're making it harder for
When they all
defensive
get blown
players.
out knees now, I mean, I didn't think these hip injuries were excessive to
It's
the
like,
point.
no. And they're trying to say you can still tackle by the hips, but you can't drop your weight and swing around. Like, that's how you're gonna be jumping
Football is
on
a
Derrick
tackle.
Henry's back, and he's gonna carry you 50 yards down the field. Like,
Right.
you have to be able to wrap, grab him by the hip and drop your weight to the ground. Like, very like Will Compton said, he was an ex-linebacker, and on his podcast, he was you're doing this at full speed. You think you're going in for a good form tackle, and the guy, makes that slight move on you going at full speed. What are you going to do? You have to lunge and grab him and
Right.
pull your weight down. You're not doing it intentionally, thinking, oh, I'm just going to grab my hip, grab him by the waist and drop my
Right.
hips. No, it's like these things happen, boom, boom, boom. You're not thinking about hurting these guys.
And
You think
you know,
about stopping them from gaining an extra yard.
if this was going on in the accounting department, yes, I would see a big problem.
Yeah.
But
Don't
the
they sign
fact,
waivers before they play the game?
I'm sure they sign all kind of
Yeah.
shit.
They know
And they're making this game softer and softer
But the
each year.
fact that it's going on in football, I think, is where
Yeah.
the problem lies. Again, as Mike said, these guys are very fast. They're very
Yeah.
shifty. They're very elusive. That's what that you know that they train to be this way. And
Yeah.
you're really, 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 again, I think this is all part of cutting down the defense, making an offensive league. You know, you can't tackle 90% of their body. Of course, the offenses are going to do better
Yeah,
because
like
you've got these guys that are you're making a split decision. You're making it, like that, and it could be a 15-yard penalty if it's just a,
yeah.
just the way your body falls as you're grabbing a guy, as you said. So,
And that's what it's going to be too. It's going to be a judgment call by the official. That's one thing they need more of, is more judgment calls.
yeah, right.
Because like you said, you can still wrap them up, you can still drop your weight, but you can't swing around.
They're just
It's
protecting
stupid.
Mahomes,
Yeah, and
just like they
physics is
protected Brady.
this is doesn't enough. How is this protecting Mahomes? He's not a big time scrambling runner.
Making the league softer.
Yeah, it is. But like the only thing that they like I said, like we said before, is like headshots. Take that out of the game, make every other hit should be fine. And I do agree with like diving at the quarterback's knees. You can, above the knee, fine, below the knee, I can understand that. But what about offensive linemen being able to still chop block guys? You can take out a defender's knee, that's fine, but you can't take out an offensive player's knees now. That's going
Makes
to be
me
the
think
next
of
move.
the old Colosseum, the days of the Roman Colosseum. And you know, they sent two guys out there to kill one another. They're like, okay, fight, but wait, you can't stab each other in the chest with your. You're sending them out to kill each other for
Right.
crying out loud. Let them battle it out. Let them duke it out. And as I said, there's enough money to give you incentive in the NFL to continue to do what you've done
Yeah.
your whole life. It isn't like
Yeah.
they're making these drastic changes in these guys. I mean, come on, it's crazy. It's crazy, guys. I'm looking forward to the kickoff. I want to see the
Yeah.
hybrid kickoff. I want to see how that plays out. But the hip drop tackle, I'm not a big fan of. So we'll see
No.
how that
Like
plays out.
I do like how
Might
they
as well
got rid
just
of the
put
whole.
flag.
It's gonna hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna affect us. We're gonna be in a
Yeah.
big game, and it's gonna happen, and
Yep.
we're gonna hate it.
Yep.
You
Like
know,
I'm glad they got rid of the horse collar tackle. To me, that one was more
yeah, you
severe than
can't
this
horse
one
collar. I
right
mean,
here.
come on, that's a weird. You know, you can't
Or grab
grab
it
somebody
in
by their horse
the
collar,
horse collar one. That's more of an abrupt,
right?
But the
That's for safety.
yeah,
That's
that's
pulling
for
somebody by
this.
their
This
top of
is
their,
right
you
here.
know.
It's just a couple tackles here and there throughout the year get blown way out of proportion.
Right.
Might as well just call it flag football by now.
It's gonna be derpy, don't you worry. It's gonna look like the All Pro game in 10 years.
Right.
Hope you like the All Pro game. Talk about new additions, Mike, with Cordarrelle Patterson.
C.
I also want to bring up real quick, guys, is
Patterson. I call him CP.
yeah, he's CP. He's C Patterson from
CP.
now
Yep.
on. Quez Watkins. I want to talk about Quez for a minute, guys. Quez, the receiver brought in from Philadelphia. He had, listen to this, guys. I'm going to give you some pros and cons to Quez. If you're wondering what your new wide receiver, anything about him, Quez Watkins was one of the NFL's top big play receivers. He
Oh.
had six catches of at least 40 yards from his rookie year to the middle of 2022 with a once promising career. But it collapsed in a flurry of costly fumbles and drops. So from what I've seen, we haven't really upgraded it wide receiver. We almost downgraded in a way. Mike, do you believe we're going to get a wide receiver? And if
Not
we
through
don't,
the
are you
draft.
concerned about this particular signing?
If we don't get a receiver, I'm concerned about the trade of Deontay Johnson. It's all these signings right now are number threes, number fours,
Yeah.
and it has to be addressed in the draft now, whether that's second round, third round. First round has to be either tackle or center. And yeah, you're gonna have to get a receiver at least in the second round because they're outside of Tyler Boyd, there's no one really out there who can really step in and be a number two. Boyd, he's been a more or less a number three for the most part down there, but he for a short while, he was a number two. Number two, so
He was a number two
he
all the way till Jamar Chase got there,
yeah. I
you
think
know.
he was more effective down there as a number three, but he's still a damn effective receiver. And I wouldn't mind him and George, and then those other guys fighting out for that third spot.
I gotta
But
disagree a bit because he was very,
yeah.
very productive as a two. By the way, the system went with Chase and then T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd almost got forced into that three role. So
Yeah.
basically, we have his team, a wide receiver room full of number threes right now. Mike, why don't we just pull one over on Chicago and take their number one pick, you know?
Just it'll work on work your magic, but we definitely need a receiver, and I have a
Tim
feeling
Marvin
it's gonna be
Harrison.
I have a feeling it's gonna be addressed via the draft because then like. This team, man, they have a way of finding wide receivers in the draft. But hopefully, you got to get a guy who can come in and be ready to go
You know, and as we did
by
that,
week
Mike,
one.
as we were able to find these receivers, we always had a decent cast in place.
Yeah.
You know, when we brought to, you know, I mean, Hines Ward was there when we brought in Santonio. It all, you know, I mean, we're going into a season where, you know, George Pickens can have a great season, but again,
Yeah.
you know, he's still kind of up in the air. You
Yep.
know, it's going to be interesting to see what we get with George Pickens over the next couple of seasons. You know, now, especially because the Steelers, quote unquote, sent this message to him by the releasing of Deontay or the trade or however you want to say it. So it's going to be interesting, Mike, but they got to address this. And I think they will. And here's the thing too, if you want to go and get that receiver early, as we kind of tongue in cheek mentioned in the other, you know, last show, and
Yeah.
as Derpy says, mentioning Marvin Harrison, one thing I found out about Zach Frazier, who you'd probably end up getting at center if that happens, Which again, it's still pretty far out there, but I think if that does happen and you got to go after Zach Frazier, I out at West Virginia, the center, I heard that he has T-Rex arms. He has like the smallest arms amongst all the centers in the draft. And you got to have that, you know, when you're dropping back, you always remember seeing Mike Webster, and you got to have a wingspan. You're more of a guard if you don't have the wingspan. A center needs that wingspan because they both work both ways. Where the guard is, you see more, the guys with the shorter arms.
Well,
Zach, so does that concern you at all, Mike?
no, because to like paraphrase New England's old offensive line coach when they won all those Super Bowls, that shit don't matter. Only thing that matters is if you can play. And Casey Hampton, everyone said that was going to be a problem for him, short arms. How is he going to fight off all these linemen? He was one of the best nose tackles, three, four defensive nose tackles of his generation.
But
And he
it's
had short
something,
arms. So you got, if you
something
have
that
the
will be
talent,
talked
if you have the
about
ability.
as everything, once they break these guys down and they start, you start peeling back the layers, we heard about Kenny's little hands for the longest time. You got to consider that again, a center has to have a wingspan. It's, you just have to.
If you can
So
play with
I hope we get our
a
guy.
sound technique, you can overcome like short
But you need
arms.
physical, the physical
And
attributes certainly go a long way as well, especially when you're competing against top linebackers and nose tackles in the league.
and he was a, don't forget too, he had comes from a, that amateur wrestling background too in high school and in college. So
Which will do nothing for you in the Pro Football League.
no, the, oh God, no, it's strength, agility that it
Because
takes for that.
Goldberg and Brock Lesnar
Well,
did
those
so
guys
great.
were better wrestlers than football players. Zach Frazier is a starter
What I'm saying, though,
football
you've seen
player.
how their abilities in wrestling helped them be, good football players. It didn't at all.
Well, that's, you're comparing apples to oranges here.
No,
Those guys were meant
I'm
to.
literally comparing the two things that you're talking
I
about.
know. As soon as that word came out of my mouth, I'm like, God damn it, I boxed myself into a corner here.
It's all good. We're gonna move on anyway, Mike. Justin Fields, I want to talk about Fields for a moment. You know what? Let me talk about Russell Wilson, and I'll let it bleed into Justin Fields.
All right, let's
Russell
do it. All
Wilson's
right.
career stats versus the AFC North, who will be playing against six times this season. Russell Wilson's career stats versus the AFC North. He has a 7-3 record overall. He has a 68.06 completion percentage, 23 touchdowns, two interceptions, and a 118 passing rating. Mike, your new starting quarterback against the division that you're in. And you will play six times through this 17-game season. Those got to be encouraging numbers, Mike, because sometimes you just play well against certain teams. Sometimes you just play well against certain divisions. It looks like he plays well against this division. And as far as I remember, I don't remember Russell Wilson beating us. I don't remember that.
I can't remember either. Like look at like Ben dominated the AFC North, but for some odd reason, when we played Philly, we just couldn't beat them. Like you said, you there's certain teams, certain divisions you play, you can whoop their asses. So that's a good sign right there. Someone who knows going into these stadiums, like, okay, I've been here, I've done that before. It's not going to scare me. Oh, I've seen this logo before. I beat them. It's not going to scare me. Because, you know how it is. Like when Pittsburgh was dominant, people would see that logo would be scared. People would see that
I think
Ravens
people still
logo and
are.
Ray Lewis and be scared. Russ is like, no, I've been there, done that. These, teams don't scare me. These stadiums don't scare me. I've won there. And
That's
that
why I do like
psychological
Russell.
factor is huge.
That's why I do like Russell Wilson. He is a been there, done that kind of guy, and I like it because he's been there, done that, and he's won Super Bowls and he's done great things. And it isn't just well, he did this good and this was okay, but we got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'm happy with that. He's been working hard. I'm seeing ample videos of him online with his Steeler gear on, doing workouts with his medicine balls and his workouts. My concern, Mike, is where's Justin Fields? If you're trying to create a rapport with the Pittsburgh fan base, with Pittsburgh management, why is there no video of Justin Fields showing up anywhere in an off-season workout, which even if he's not doing, maybe he's taking a little time off. Don't you think it would be a good idea to get some kind of video out there? Because the guy that you're kind of sort of in a competition with has he's putting videos out every day. He's wearing Steelers gear. He looks excited. He looks amped and ready to go. Mike, do you think at some point it's going to be important for Justin Fields to maybe kind of do something like what Russell Wilson's doing for just for PR reasons?
But like for PR reason with the fans, Probably,
The fans
but
are kind
like,
of a big thing.
yeah, but like to, you know, if anyone thinks like, you know, if they're not seeing videos of these guys, they're not working out. Come on now, these guys stay in shape year round. So he's working out. You know, we saw those videos of Kenny working out. We saw the results of that. We saw Russell Westbrook or Westbrook, or Russell Wilson did these same videos in Denver and kind of saw how that played out too there. You
Yeah, I
know,
mean there's
so
apples
I,
and
you know.
oranges because one hand you're talking about Kenny, who has a winning percentage, and if you look at these two quarterbacks, they didn't the past couple of years coming. So I mean, but I think Mike, just for the sake of saying, hey guys, I'm your quarterback of the future. Maybe just maybe I want to look a little bit more excited and more serviceable to you, because again, at the end of the day, the people that fill that stadium are going to be the guys that pay his, you know, that pay his
Yeah.
paycheck. So again, I think for PR reasons, I'm like, again, he probably is working out every day. He's probably doing great, but I think Russell Wilson, he's playing that card to a
Yeah.
T. I think he's been there, done that. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the system. I think what Russell Wilson's doing with these workout videos is a smart thing, and I think it's going to get people excited about Russell Wilson running out onto that field on
Yeah.
Sundays come football season.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he's going to do, like we're excited to see what Justin Fields is going to do at training camp
Yeah,
and in the
great.
preseason. That's what I want. That's what I'm excited to see there. Because,
But if he works out more now, maybe he'll be more successful in training camp, is
well,
what
he's
I'm
probably,
saying.
you know, just because he's not filming and posting, it doesn't mean he's not working
Or
out.
maybe
So,
he's not. It doesn't mean that he is either.
or Russ can, you know, do a couple reps with his
Yeah, that's what I'm
sunglasses on
saying.
and
It's all
post
about
it.
PR. It's all
It's all about perception. Perception
you
is
have to make
reality.
your you have to make the fans happy. Otherwise, they're gonna boo, they're gonna chase you out of town. And you know what? I can't imagine that kind of thing would happen here in Pittsburgh, but you know.
No, we've never booed anyone out of this stadium or
Exactly.
town or a four-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. No, we never booed someone like
Right, right, right,
that.
right.
We never booed Balto, you know, Stanley Cup winners out of town before.
Speaking of people leaving town, the Steelers are open to bringing back cornerback Patrick Peterson. And like, if they don't make any more splash plays in the defensive backfield or any plays that have any significance basically to what's going on, I think Patrick Peterson has a very good job of coming back next year. They cut a bunch of guys to free up money. They made some big moves. They got some guys they want. We know we got to get in the draft.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Peterson, I think there's a very good chance that he comes back at some role in our secondary this coming season. What do you think about Patrick Peterson?
I would prefer Eric Rowe come back
Yeah,
over
he's
Pat Pete.
very
I would
interested in
prefer,
coming back as
but
well.
you know, I am if we can't get it to work with Eric Rowe and we can get Pat Pete cheaper, like I said, as a backup safety, maybe as a backup, even a backup slot corner, I'll take that. You know, I'll be okay with it because you're not counting on him to be that every down guy. Because now we got, you know, we got Porter, we got Dante Jackson. So him in there lower in the mix, it would be better. Less would be more now for Pat Pete. You know, I'm still looking for a corner taken in the top 3 rounds that could produce as well. So
Hey, you know,
less was more with Pat Pete. There's
with the
talk even.
dire positions that we need, though, it
Yeah.
makes you think, you know, that if you do go that route, it's probably going to be a corner
Yeah.
three or beyond, round three or
Yeah.
beyond, because you need your center. And whatever they plan on doing, if they plan on shifting guys around and skimping in the draft and not
Yeah.
taking a tackle, so I mean, you just don't know
Yeah.
what move they're going to make. But I think our secondary is pretty, you know, at this point, I can't imagine
It's solid.
this is what they're going to go with. I mean, you do have Corey Trice coming back. I'm very interested to see what Corey Trice Jr. could add to the line. I mean, if he could come back and play an effective game and be somewhat productive, that's huge. But I do believe you
Yeah.
have to address these offensive issues. We have so
Yeah.
much invested in this defense, so
Yeah.
much time, so much money. You got to fix this offensive line. You got to get this receiver
Yeah.
thing figured out. If not, these are going to be big holes in your
Yeah.
lineup, and you're going to hear it all year because we didn't fix these problems.
Especially with, you know, we have the highest paid defense and the lowest paid offense
Right.
in the league. So
Right.
you have to start addressing the offensive side of the ball. And if you're not going to do it in
Considering.
free, you have to do it in the draft. And like, I wouldn't be opposed to go, you know, lineman, wide receiver in the first 3 picks in any order, as long as you get guys that you can think could start right away. And then get, if we have that extra third round pick too, you can still probably get a corner in there that can play up and down the lineup. It doesn't have to start right away. I also read, Ryan, too, that there's talk that they might bring back Levi Wallace, not as an outside corner, but as a slot corner.
Yeah.
A lot better than – I'd like him
I'd
in the
okay.
slot more than on the outside.
I just
we
know
saw
he
what
was
happened when we played outside.
I know he was so ready to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I trust his abilities at this point, but if he comes back, there's definitely worse situations we could be in.
Yeah.
But I just know he was ready to get out, and he was
yeah.
kind of fed up with all the drama and the, you know, things go on.
Maybe all
So
the drama's cleaned up and he, you know,
also,
wants to
Mike,
come
you got to
back.
think the problem was last year, not the defense. The defense did they went
Yeah.
above and beyond. They kept the Steelers in all those football games, and basically we won them because the defense was stout and they would do their job when need be. So the offense, I think it would be a crime if we don't go out and get these guys that we need, these linemen, of course the receiver. And, you know, if we come back in a worse position that we were in at those particular positions, I think that's going to be pretty bad. So
Yeah.
you got to think the draft is going to be line heavy. You got to think that they're going to be touching on the receivers again. I don't know what kind of strategy the guy has. Omar Khan has, you know, a dozen picks in his back pocket. He has, you know, some receivers that he brought in who were, you know, not exactly what we're looking for, but he does have things that he could use and leverage. And I hope to see maybe he might do something in the draft to move up, move down, move around, whatever he
Yep.
had to do to get these guys that he needs. Because I just don't think you could come back into this season with those same issues that you had leaving the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to them. Ron. My goodness, Ron.
Well, thanks, Ron. Greatly
Oh.
appreciated, sir.
Wait, what happened?
I
don't
Oh,
know, but it says something
good.
about you, Derpy, so I'm going to
Oh.
pay attention.
Appreciate it, Ron. Oh my God.
Also, Mike, DJ, Deontay Johnson takes a stab at the fans,
Oh.
which, you know, I think that this is more comical than anything.
Yeah.
He
I did
basically,
not see this.
you know, it's people, you know, everyone's got to chime in and have something to say. And, you know, it's not just him, it's everybody. But Deontay Johnson said, in quote, "Pittsburgh fans need to get a life. We need to get a life. We're having an opinion of the team that we watched our whole lives that he played for a short period of time here in Pittsburgh. We're just to move on, not say anything, not have an opinion. We're just supposed to go get a life, but we're still supposed to pay his, you know, pay his salary, but get a life. Don't have any opinion on what these guys in the NFL who were walking past live fumbles, who are, you know, anything that you could say, we're not supposed to have an opinion. Deontay Johnson says, Mike, that we should all just get a life. What do you think?"
Oh, Deontay, never change, never change.
Right.
Like he's
Son of
becoming
a bitch, he.
he's becoming the
I'm glad
wish,
he's a Carolina now.
he's the wish version of Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
He doesn't
Right.
have the CTE, but he's just like acting like he does with
Right.
his comments sometimes. Because then, like, he'll say stuff like that, but then sometimes then he'll be like, "Oh man, I love my fans." I'm like,
Right.
Deontay, like, can you pick a lane today?
My one of the things I didn't like about him on social media, on Twitter, for
You
example,
block everyone
you
or
can't,
they're
yeah, you
muted.
can't comment. He blocks
Yeah.
the comments. You can
Yeah.
like it if you want, if you like what he
Yeah.
has to say, but you can't say anything bad about him. Oh, I see what it is. Derpy's a malnutrition panda. Derpy, you do look kind of
Derpy,
awfully
you're so
skinny with that.
underfed. Ron has to donate to us so we can feed you.
And I want to know what the hell it is you do the whole
I
time,
respect
because
that.
I think as Derpy moves, that thing moves with him.
I know, because he's like,
So, yeah, his head's always up here, and he's talking, and his
Whee!
mouth is moving, and his arms are swinging. I'd like to know what the hell you're doing during the course of this show, Derpy, because you're certainly not sitting still. That
I
thing
know.
that I see, that panda, it's moving constantly.
Wee.
Derpy just goes, wee.
One more thing about Justin Fields, guys. His similarities to Mitch Trubisky when leaving Chicago, guys. Here they are, a few of them. He was a top 12 pick. He had zero playoff wins. He had zero wins at Lambeau Field, and he's leaving for a backup job. Mike, is it safe to say that we should feel more comfortable with receiving Justin Fields than Mitch Trubisky?
I hope so, because I think there's more there to work with than there was with Mitch. I think by the time Mitch left, that
At
Chicago team,
least Fields will
he
make
looked
a
beat
play out
down.
of something.
Yeah, Mitch looked like a beat down, defeated guy when he left. Whereas Field
Yeah.
looks ready for a fresh opportunity.
I think Mitch is just ugly, Mike. He has a face
like
a puppet.
It could be if you from one ugly guy to another. I think Mitch, you know.
Yeah.
But he just looked like defeated when he left Chicago, whereas Fields looks like he kind of, at the end of last year, started to put some, you know, good numbers out of him, and that one receiver had a good connection. He was playing well. Now he's going to another place to try again. He looks more energized, more refreshed than Mitch did when Trubisky left.
All I got to say is at the end of the day, you take all these numbers, you throw them out there, you create negatives, you create pros, cons, yeah, whatever. He has more rushing yards than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He has more rushing yards than Jalen Hurts. He has more rushing yards than Josh Allen. At the end of the day, that's what it's boiling down to with me. He has to learn to be more effective.
He needs a mentor.
Yes. He's Cordell Stewart right now as we speak. I think that whether they use him as a slash or not, I don't know. But he has that ability, and he can improve and become a better passer as Cordell did over time. Hopefully this is what we see from him because, again, Russell Wilson's age, you know, who knows
how
long.
Like Ron said, you know, the way things go, you never know. He could be starting by week five.
He could be starting by the second snap of week one.
Yeah, like, you know, you're going to have an Aaron Rodgers situation. And
right.
Like, you know, he said he when he was coming out of college, he modeled his game after Russell Wilson. So now he's getting a chance to work behind him. So I almost guarantee he's going to be picking his brain once those two start getting to work together. And that new quarterback coach we had that came from San Diego had to work with Justin Herbert. So I feel like Fields is going to come into a nice situation.
I hope you're right.
Like Tomlin said, there's still a lot of meat left on that bone. And you know, Fields is 24. He's the same age as a lot of these quarterbacks coming out now.
You know, it's
he
so
has
weird.
Years of NFL experience. So we'll see
everyone
how it goes.
On our team is either 22 to 24 or 33 to 38.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's nobody in the middle.
No, we have there's no middle age. No, that middle demographic's missing from this team.
Mike, one more thing about the Steelers. Then we must move on.
Must.
This is the Steelers have the third. Get this, guys. This is very interesting. It's good to know. The Steelers have the third strongest schedule this year by paper, by numbers. Let me kind of give you a rundown. The team with the strongest schedule this year is the Cleveland Browns. The team with the second strongest schedule is the Baltimore Ravens. And the team with the third strongest schedule is the Steelers. So what's this tell me? The AFC North is considered to be very, very strong because this is who these three teams have in common the most, more often than any other team. Yes, they do all play the NFC, the East.
Mm-hmm.
They both also play the AFC West. It's going to be tough games in both of them.
Yeah.
But to know that you have to face the Ravens or the Steelers or the Browns, you know, two different times, you know.
Yep.
So this, guys, this we are number three. We have the third strength, toughest schedule in the NFL. And here's one for you, Mike. The Cincinnati Bengals, they fall to 16. They have the 16th toughest. But you get that last place
schedule, yeah.
You're getting a lot of last place teams.
And remember last year, towards the end of the year, based on the winning percentage of the current season, we had the strongest schedule.
Yeah.
Heading down the stretch. So nothing new for this team.
So the schedule that we got, the teams we play collectively have last season had a 533 winning percentage, 53%. They had a record of 154 and 135. Games versus teams with 500 winning percentages. Okay. Hold on. So games with teams versus teams with 500% winning percentage in 2023, we faced 10 of them. And then teams that were our playoff teams in 2023, we faced 7 of them. So 7 of our opponents this year were in the playoffs last year. And so Mike, it's just going to be another day at the office. You just got to go out there, play football. We're not given the easy path. We're not being given anything. You just got to go out there, win the division games, as we did last year. Of course, we improved, but also these other teams improved as well. You bring in guys like Derrick Henry. He's a game changer. You know, the Browns are adding a lot of guys here and there, but they are the Browns. And at the end of the day, Cincinnati, you know, who knows what you're going to get if Joe Burrow's healthy this time around. And again, as we mentioned, Mike, the NFC East and the AFC West aren't going to be easy either. A lot of good football games this year, and I hope the moves that we made are going to keep us right in everything.
I hope so, too. excuse me. Hopefully, some of these teams that are supposed to be really good have down years, and we can take advantage of that.
Right.
He's up that schedule because we had some teams that were supposed to be bad last year that turned out to be pretty good.
Absolutely. Mike, let's talk about the Penguins for a moment. Penguins back in action. Now here, Mike, this team, they're making me nuts. Let me tell you.
I know.
This team lost to everybody. Then you get this super team that comes to town who has a newly acquired Jake Guentzel. Yeah, they have a future Hall of Famer, Brent Burns. They have Jordan Staal. They have Capitals great, longtime great Kuznetsov. I'm thinking there's no way. We don't stand a chance against the Hurricanes. Mike, we come out, we beat the Hurricanes 4-1.
What is this Penguins team?
What's going on?
I have no idea. One big thing from that game is, we had a call up what two young or we called up a couple young guys, and they actually were able to play on a fourth line, and we were able to rotate four lines throughout the
Yeah.
game. We had an effective fourth line for a change. That was a big jump right there. Sullivan even said, "Oh, these guys brought an edge. They brought some emotion to the team." This is why
Yeah.
you play the young guys, Sully. You saw what happened on your
Legs.
first cup run when you had Connor, Sherry, and Russ when they were all young. We could have done this months ago, but you refused to play them. That helped too. And I thought we were going to lose. Every time we play Carolina, it's a tough win for us for the past 5, 6 years, it feels like. So I'm surprised we won. It was nice to see, but too little, too late. But Sid had another good game. He's on pace to finish with 88 points.
He has scored 7 points in the last two games.
Yeah,
And I'm
he's
wondering,
on fire.
crazy. He's going off.
He's been like this all year long too.
just wondering if they played off emotion because this is the kind of
Guentzel
game the
coming
Steelers
back.
win, or this is the kind of game the Penguins win.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh teams do that. They win emotional games and in all their sports, and then they lose to teams like Columbus, which is who the
Yeah.
next team that they have
Yeah. Yep.
on the schedule, guys. Tomorrow they're back in action at 7 o'clock. They host the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can keep this going, Mike. They did pop their head back up above 500. They're now 31, 30, and 10. Not much time. They got
Not much
70,
time.
71 in. They got what, 11 more.
11 more to go. Are they down to, are they still 82 or 80? I always forget.
I don't know. I thought they
I
were
can't
82.
remember. I just want the season to end because this team is frustrating this year. But hey, you know what? Hey, nice. Jake Guentzel had a nice reception from the crowd. Nice little tribute video. That was
Oh
nice to
yeah,
see.
they love him.
Well, that not now after the game because he was like, "Hey, I wanted to stay, but they thought, to go a different direction." Now everyone's like, "Oh, this team sucks. They should have kept him."
Right.
But hey, you never know what what kind of contract he wanted, guys.
Pirates opening day tomorrow. I was gonna go through the lineup and that today, but we'll do that. I mean, tomorrow's actually opening
Tomorrow
day.
might be the day.
Pirates will be kicking off their season tomorrow in Miami against the Marlins, guys. 4-10's the start. Pirates have been named the third, number three top bullpen in all the majors. O'Neal Cruz, get this, guys. O'Neal Cruz hit four home runs. He hit seven home runs in spring training, but he hit four of them that were 110 miles per hour plus. Cleveland Guardians hit three all last season as a team. The Guardians hit three home runs that were 110 miles plus. O'Neal Cruz already hit four in preseason alone.
Hopefully
That's
carry that over to the regular season, man. I want to see like 35 homers out of O'Neal Cruz this year. I
this
know that's a
guy's.
high number, but I want to see it. He
He's
had
got to
some
stay
good.
healthy,
I know.
and that's been your problem.
Well, he had one injury. I mean, the thing is, he's not injury prone. He broke his ankle and
Yeah.
was sliding into a guy at home plate in the early part of the season. So to call him injury prone at this point, I think is a little premature. We'll keep our eye on him. Certainly, he's going to be the big star. Him and Henry Davis moving forward into the season, we will keep a close eye on him. Mike, who do you think wins this division? You got the Pirates, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Cubbies, and who am I forgetting?
Reds.
In the Reds, who wins this division?
I'm gonna go with the Brew Crew, but I can't believe I'm gonna say this. I feel dirty. I look for the Buccos to finish second.
All right. I think the Pirates got as good a chance this year as they've had in the past 10 years, since they were good last. I think they should be okay. You got to get into that. You got to get into that race.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always, as we say, Mike, there's always that one other team. It's never clear cut. You never just win the division. If we could get in there with Milwaukee and kind of have that up and down, that, you know, that leapfrogging each other, you know, going up and down and passing each other, I think that's how you have the best chance of winning the division. You
Yeah.
have St. Louis, they're still terrible. You know, you've seen their very, very
Anemic
I'd say.
offense.
Anemic offense that bled over from last season in the spring training. And these other teams, I mean, the Reds, they don't seem they're going to be competitive as they always are. But I don't know. Maybe, just maybe the Pirates might be in the hunt, guys. So season starts tomorrow at 4:10 in South Florida. Women's basketball, men's basketball first. Four, as I mentioned the other day, there's four ACC teams left. The games start tomorrow. They go Thursday through Sunday. We'll break down after Thursday and Friday. You get down to the Elite Eight, and then through the weekend you get down to the Final Four. So that's going to be exciting, Mike. That starts back up tomorrow,
Yeah, I can't
March
wait.
Madness. Mike, there's been 44. This is the longest streak in college basketball. 44 straight years that there's been an ACC team in the Final Four, or in the, I'm sorry, in the Sweet 16 where we're at right now. The next closest team, conference, Mike, has 25.
Damn.
44 straight years, the second closest. But you got your Dukes, your North Carolinas, teams like this. One thing that a lot of people got to remember, Mike, who beat the NC State team two times this year? Pitt. Pitt beat them two times. So if that NC State ends up going all the way, which they're playing very hot right now,
Yeah.
just remember who beat them twice this year. It was a team that wasn't even good enough to make the tournament. So over to
Wild.
women's March Madness, Mike. These teams, the odds of winning goes like this. Number one, South Carolina, which you mentioned earlier. You felt that South Carolina has a really good chance. Number two, who I watched the other night, I watched Iowa, Caitlin Clark. They have the second best odds of winning it all this year. LSU, three. UConn, four. Stanford, Texas, UCLA, I'm sorry, and USC. Those are the odds, Mike. Those are your best chances of winning the women's March Madness tournament. And I do want to mention as well, guys, Duquesne's women are still alive in the NIT tournament for women.
Ooh.
So if you jumped on the Duquesne bandwagon, you can still root for their women that are
There you
still alive
go.
and
Let's
well.
go. I want some local team to do something well.
Speaking of local teams, Mike, the Whippoorwill was the most successful, which for going back to Ron asked the other day, for people who may not be familiar or that watch the show, Whippoorwill is the Western Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic League. And that is basically the teams that surround Pittsburgh, or the, you know, the suburban areas, the anything that is around Pittsburgh, with the exception of the City League that has about eight teams, is the Whippoorwill. There's you know, it breaks down into, you know, different parts across the state. Overall, it's the PIAA. It's the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association is what governs the
Yeah.
whole entire state. But we here right in Pittsburgh and around Pittsburgh, it's called the Whippoorwill. And the Whippoorwill was the most successful group, Mike, in this year's state tournaments for state championships. Of course, winning four games. Amani Christian, I'm sorry, I didn't realize they are in the Whippoorwill. They're included in the Whippoorwill.
Oh, no way.
But Aliquippa, Lincoln Park, Blackhawk Girls, Monte Christian all win. And Franklin Regional was the only team that lost from the Whippoorwill. That makes us the most successful section in the whole entire state this year in high school
Nice.
basketball.
Well
So
done.
good
I
for
love
them,
it.
guys. Soccer, Mike, the Riverhounds are back at it on Saturday evening, 6 p.m. They host Tampa Bay. 0-2 start, Mike. What do you think?
Oh,
They gonna get this win?
they're gonna, yeah. They'll get off the schneid, get one in the
Yeah,
W column.
they got to.
They got
Because
to. They gotta get some points.
I
They'll
think
get
you
the
lose. I
ball
think you lose some
curling.
support, Mike. If this team starts 0-3, I think people are gonna be like, "Oh, do I want to get down there and watch that?" Yeah,
Yeah,
maybe I don't.
they have good following, guys. I think they will, but last year it seemed like they got a huge boost in in attendance and people paying attention to it because they had some success at like some of the U.S. tournaments that go through where you play MLS. They did really well
Right.
in there, and they need to build on that to get more and more people eyeballs on it. Because for a while there, I love soccer, and I would and last year's when I really started to pay attention to it more and more.
Right.
I was like, oh man,
I
they're
want to
knocking
pay
some pretty good
attention.
teams off.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a soccer guy. I never really was, but I want to pay attention. They're wearing my colors. It's like
It's your hometown team, man.
right, right. I'm like, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
TheTwoDimeEnters.com. TheTwoDimeEnters.com. We got our merch store over there. We got the got Brian and I social media links over there, and we got the blog over there. And checking out the analytics. More and more people are checking it out every day. I appreciate it, guys. So yeah, keep checking it
Thank you
out.
so much. Greatly
Yeah, the
appreciated.
this Friday I'll have another blog post up. I don't know what it's going to be about yet, but we'll be another one up.
All right, great job, Mike. Go check it out, everybody. www.the2dumbusers.com. That's www.the2dumbusers.com. A lot of cool things over there. As Mike said, go check it out, everybody. All right, guys, question of the day. This is going to be because spring, because the Pirates are having their opener tomorrow. This is a Pittsburgh Pirates question, and it pertains to the opening game of the season. So here we go. Put your thinking caps on. Mike, Derpy, everybody on the board, here we go. In Pittsburgh Pirates history, now you got to think they started back in 1887. The question of the day is this: in Bucks history, do they have more wins or losses on opening day? Now I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. One of the numbers are 69, and one of the numbers are 60. 69 and 60, either one of those are their opening day wins. And one of their opening day losses. Take a moment to think those over, and we will get your answer in just a moment. We're live, everybody, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here every day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show that we do live every day, we take and we upload that brand new show up on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. in podcast form. If you don't get a chance to watch this show, maybe you only have an opportunity to listen to the show. If you're at the gym with your earbuds in, you're in the car, whatever the case may be, you could always go over to Spotify and catch the brand new show every day at 8 o'clock p.m. on Spotify. Check it out. All right, guys, here is the question of the day. This is because the Pirates start tomorrow. The Pirates have been around since 1887. Here's the question: in Bucks history, do they have more wins or losses on opening day? One of the numbers are 69, one of the numbers are 60. Do you think they have more wins or losses? I'm going to start with Derpy. Derpy, do you think they have more wins or losses on opening day
I'm
in
going to go with the
history?
losses.
More losses. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right, I got Derpy locked into place. Mike, I'm going to come over to you. Since
Yes.
1887, the Pittsburgh Pirates on opening day, do they have more losses or more wins? It's just one game every year. One of the numbers is 69. One of the numbers is 60. Derpy says they have more losses in that period of time. Brian on the board says they have more wins in that time. Mike, what do you think?
With more wins.
Ron also says wins. Is that going to be your final
Final
answer?
answer.
All right. So Derpy says they've had more losses. The guys on the board said wins. Mike says wins. I'm locking Mike in place. Here we go. Since 1887, the Pittsburgh Pirates, in opening day, do they have more wins or losses? The hint I gave was one number is 69, one number is 60. A majority of the people say they won 69 openers and lost 60. Derpy, on the other hand, said they won 60 and lost 69. The answer to the question of do the Pirates have more wins or more losses on opening day is. They have 69 wins and 60 losses.
So
69 wins and 60 losses. Hopefully they could make it up tomorrow. Get that win, make it 70 and 60. Seems a little bit more impressive if it was 70 and
yeah, 70.
69.
Nice round number.
Yeah, it's got to be rounded. We do want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We really do. We wouldn't do it without you. Very, very, very big part of what we do. And everyone on the board, we want to thank you as well. You guys will always keep it interesting. Mike, anything before we start to wrap it up?
I got nothing.
I
I've
for
heard it
sure thought
this.
you were going to be excited about the McDonald's starting to sell Krispy Kreme donuts in
Ugh.
2026.
Ugh.
This is what I thought you were going to talk about was
No, I
donuts. I
didn't
don't
even
know
see
why.
that. Ugh, no.
You don't like the Krispy Kremes?
No, they're overrated.
Okay. Derpy?
I got three things.
Okay.
Bucko Fever.
Feeling it. Bucko Fever, he said.
Pens, you own Columbus.
All right.
Let's get another one. And it's almost time for the draft. Let's go.
All right. So what Derpy said was Bucko Fever, Pens, and almost time for the draft. I very, very all very exciting things. Haran on the board says, told you Derpy was malnourished. It affected his guess on the trivia because he was the only one that got it wrong. Brain isn't working like it's supposed to.
No.
Nope.
Mine is, I do want to say, I feel bad for the people that did lose their lives in the bridge getting hit by the barge in Baltimore. As much as we do hate that shitty little village of Baltimore, I do want to say I do feel terrible. There were people, I think about 6 to 8 people, mm-hmm. 6 to 8 people, I'm sorry, that did lose their lives. You never want to see that, no matter where they're from. But very, very bad situation. And to me, man, it looked like the bridge was built with popsicle sticks the way that it fell.
Yeah, like, right. At first I saw, like, that little boat hit it. Then they showed the picture this morning. I saw a picture this morning of the actual size of that boat. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, no wonder. Right. No wonder, yeah. Like,
made it sound like it was a rowboat.
It lost power.
This thing is huge, man. It's like big as the
it is.
Like the key building in Cleveland is like 3 feet shorter than this boat. And I saw, like, okay, that explains. Ain't nothing stopping big. That boat except
and it has all that cargo, the weight on that thing, you know?
Like, yeah.
All right. Anybody else, Mike? Anything?
I got nothing. Now? I got nothing. I just, you know, Ron, thanks again, bud. Appreciate it, man.
Please, Derpy, anything else? Yes, thank you, Ron.
I got nothing.
All right, guys. Well, as we said, thank you, Ron. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. The Pirates do kick off their season tomorrow. We'll be talking a little bit about that and everything else Pittsburgh sports. You know that. For Mike at the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, for Derpy, myself, the Two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.